I started out on this journey. I'm determined to make it through, and there is no doubt I'm gonna make it. I've found out God's word is true. We're gonna make it. Amen. Thank God. Yes. Gonna make it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I like doing new things. And I feel like there's a new church in town, and I just moved here. And I'm ready to get started. How about you? And you know what? It sure is a lot better than last time I went to pastor a church. I only had just two or three people to work with. Now we got a whole gang of us. And it's good to be in Norwich, and I hope you all can enjoy me as the new pastor. But let me stay around for a while, because I really am tired of moving around. I like it here. And it's been been a long journey. Amen. I'd just like to stay here for a few more years. Praise God. How about you? Amen. I want to look to the Word of God before I confuse totally our internet audience. Amen. In case you all don't know what we're talking about Norwich Tabernacle is going out of business. And Brother Arthur told his daddy that he's going to quit going to Norwich Tabernacle. And his dad, I think, was a little bit shocked. Anyway, they finally came to realize that Norwich Tabernacle has had a wonderful, wonderful several years experience. And we're moving on. We're all going to quit Norwich Tabernacle. And we're moving to the Abundant Life Center. Amen. And we have a new pastor who will meet us there, and a brand new congregation. And it just so happens y'all have the same name you've got. And we're just looking forward to great things. So anyway, I'm in the book of John. Jesus is talking to a bunch of people. Yeah, let's all stand for a moment. It'll help you get out of these chairs that are not quite as padded as the ones that are going to be next week. Amen. At least these don't go up with you when you stand up. Praise God. I'm in the fifth chapter. I'm in the last part of the fifth chapter of John just to get a little bit of setting of the conversation. And then right on into the sixth chapter. Jesus is talking to some folks here, and a lot of things have been going on, and they don't all quite understand everything he's doing. Amen. Hold on a second. Which time did you clean my glasses with? All right. But the last part of it here, I start, say, verse 39, chapter 5. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe when you receive honor? How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Do not think that I will accuse you. Wait a minute. I read that one, didn't I? For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now we're in chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now pay attention to these words. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Let me run that by you one more time and think about this. This is Jesus. He's asked a man a question, and he already knows the answer, and he knows what he's going to do, but he's asking this man this question, not to get information for himself, but to prove, not to prove to himself, he already knows everything, but to prove him. In other words, he's going to show this man that he's got a lot more going for him than he realizes. You may be seated. Amen. Praise God. He's using the logic of humanity, our way, you know. So how are we going to make it? This is why we talk sometimes. How are we going to, where do we go from here?
From here.
Yeah. You remember that message. What's up? How can we get past this point? You know, and we talk about these things. And so Jesus understands how we talk, how we reason, how we think, how we feel. And so on our level, he comes and speaks to people. And as he's speaking to people, many sick people get healed. And because of this, a great multitude follows him. A great moment. I'm not talking about 20 people in a basement in Norwich, Connecticut. I'm talking about thousands of people. Thousands of people. You know, like maybe 10, 12, 15,000. Who knows how many thousands of people. They're following him because of the miracles. They see him doing things that nobody can do. And it's not necessarily that they believe that he is God or that they believe that he even is what many, or the few that followed him, claim that he is, even though they don't fully understand. The reason they're following him is because things are happening. He's not in a rut. He's not same old, same old. When you get near him, something happens. Things change. And people that have known their neighbors for years suddenly see that neighbor that could not hear for years. Now he can hear. And that person has walked around in darkness, blind, all of his life because he can now see. And there, people that have been blind all their lives, they're not quiet about it when suddenly they can see. It's a pretty exciting moment. I had a relative just recently thought she was going blind and she had to be operated on, and the doctor had pretty well assured her that there's a strong possibility you'll never see again. But he said, if you can see light after this operation, there's almost certainty that you will see again. And she could hardly wait as they started taking those bandages from her eyes. This is just recently, Sister Greenway. She could hardly wait until she could see, but yet at the same time she had these mixed feelings. What if I can't see? Because it was like, if it's dark when we remove the bandages, you'll always be blind. If there's light when we remove the bandages, it's almost certain you will see again. And so, what a moment that must have been as she was lying there on the hospital bed, when suddenly that bandage on her eyelids was removed, and she could see light. And she was an excited lady, very excited lady. Amen. But I can't imagine the excitement of somebody that walks up to a man, and that man says a few words, does a couple of things, and says, now open your eyes and look, and suddenly he can see. Praise God. Not just hoping that I might see if he sees a little light, but suddenly, and these things were happening in the multitude, everywhere Jesus was going, even though he had only a few followers in the beginning, it wasn't because of his doctrine. It wasn't because of his knowledge of God so much. It was because of the miracles, because of the excitement of what is going on, people talking about it. Man, you wouldn't believe what I saw today. Oh, John over here, that's always been crippled. You know that crippled guy that he can't get around? I saw him running and leaping and saying things that I've never heard him talk like. He's always been down, always had his head down, always always been depressed, always asking people for money, and I saw him running and leaping and saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Now, what's that all about? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it must be the person that caused it to happen. Who is Jesus? And so the crowd comes. They start hearing about Jesus. And that's how they hear. It's not, they didn't, I don't believe it's like this. Could I tell you about Jesus? I don't think it's, stood there and a couple of guys in a white shirt came by on a bicycle, knocked on their door and said, "Maybe come in and discuss a couple of things and give you a gift." I believe the reason the multitude was there is because somebody got excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to sell Jesus, just have an experience with Him. It'll take care of drawing the people. We can get on all the TV stations, all the radio stations, on all the billboards, and we can hand out tracts till we're totally exhausted. And maybe a few will come. But you let one person have a miracle in his life. Amen. And you don't have to do much advertising. That person with an experience and a joy and a happiness and an excitement will fill this place up. And they will come because they heard about the one that was saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." Excited, leaping, running, joyful. So they were following Him, this multitude. He just got through teaching in so many words. You folks don't have anything, you don't know anything. You don't even know who I am. You don't know what I'm all about. But the reason they were there is because some things were happening that drew them. And they didn't know much about Him. They didn't know where He was coming from. And most of them probably didn't even believe what He said. But you don't have to believe everything if suddenly you know that just by being in that place, all your pain that you've been suffering with all these years could go away in just a moment. I believe I would try to get near anybody that could do that for me just for a moment at least, whether I believed them or not. I have pain sometimes. If I knew that everything that's wrong with me right now could suddenly go away if I would just go over there and stand next to Dana. I don't really believe it, so I'm not going to go over there. But if I believed it, I wouldn't think Dana's God. But since he praises God and lives for God, I would think he is close to God and he has experience with God. He knows something about God that I need more of. But if I knew that just by being near that man, blinded eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, and even the dead are raised, and crippled people can walk, and if I knew all these things were going on just because you're near a person that seems to have the power of God working in him, I believe I'd want to go over there and at least touch the hem of his garment. And by the way, that's my suit he's wearing, or was. Amen. God has a way of working things out. Somebody bought me a suit and it fit Brother Dana. So God, he must have been praying. But see, things do happen when you pray. Amen. But if I thought that man, just for being near him, if I was going around hungry, didn't have money to buy food, and I heard he can feed you, and it doesn't matter if you're hungry or if you have money or not, you just be near him when everybody gets hungry, and you'll get to eat. If I were real hungry, and I heard the report of how good that food was those people had out in that wilderness, I think I'd just go looking for this guy, and even if I didn't believe all he says and didn't like the way he looks, I think I would just go hang out with him a little bit. And that's what's going on here. People are hanging out with Jesus. Not necessarily because he has proved anything to them, but about doctrine or God. But they're starting to see that if you're near him, if you're in the multitude that's following him and getting close to him, things happen.
Things change. People get excited. Hallelujah. See, these folks didn't really receive him as we receive him today. They didn't understand that this was God's chosen vessel to save all of humanity. They didn't understand that at that time. They were just following him because things change. Miracles happen. And they wanted to be a part of this. Praise God. Let me tell you something, church. No matter what we call ourselves, if things start changing for people when they're around us, and the report goes out, I don't know all there is to know about those people, but I know one thing. I'm better off now by having them as my friend than I was before I met them. Even if you are Jesus' name, they will come, and they will be part of the worship that goes on here. Praise God. Because we are in a position right now to be able to cause excitement to go forth and people to say things like, thank you, Jesus, without even understanding who Jesus is. Simply because what can go on as a result of meeting with you in the shop, at the market, on the job, or whatever. And let me tell you something. Everything you do and say is part of outreach. It's not, outreach is not a program, although many have outreach programs. Outreach is the result of you being a child of God all the time. That person that cheated you in a business deal is a soul. Rather than complain about the merchandise being bad, or the food not being what you ordered, it would be good for all of you to learn the lesson of what it does when you dare to be different and not like all the rest of them. Most people in New England, if the steak is overcooked, they say, take it back. Give me another one. If your steak is overcooked, you should either eat it or compliment everybody and give a bigger tip and say the food was very good. And be satisfied with what was set before you, even if you don't want to eat it. Eat all you can and let the kids and everybody else eat all they can. And walk away smiling and say this is a wonderful meal. And give extra money for it. If you don't have that in you, hey, you don't know what the joy of life is all about. Hey, yeah, God can give us the Holy Ghost and He can saturate us with baptism in Jesus' name and make us get excited. But until you know the joy of making a difference in other people and walking away and other people hearing the report, you know, when that person came through here, there was something different. Anybody else would have complained. Anybody else would have gotten angry. Anybody else would have threatened us. But that person made us all happy. It may be a miracle for some of you to be able to do that. But if you can start performing those kind of miracles, multitudes will follow you to the Abundant Life Center. Hallelujah. You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. But I know what it is to walk with Jesus, to be with Jesus, and see things happen. Or when that bill collector calls, I'm trying to talk about things that you understand. When that bill collector calls and says, for the 30th time, and you already know what it's about, you've been avoiding the phone call for 7 months, and here it is again. Here it is again. If you or I would take one moment and do something different than we've always done, just grab the phone and say, hello, I'm so glad you called. And mean it. One thing that will happen, you will completely confuse the man that called. He won't know what to think, or she won't know what to think, because they're not used to that. And when they start saying, you know, you're way behind, and you're going to have to go to court, and this is happening, and you get all these threatening remarks, and you say, well, you know why? That's why I'm glad you called. This gives me an opportunity to let you know that no matter how much I owe and no matter how much trouble I'm in, I'm still happy. And I'm glad you called. It gives me a chance to let you know There's happiness on this end of the line. And nothing that has happened as a result of what I've done, what you do, or what they do is going to change that. And since I'm happy, and since I'm feeling great about myself, and since I'm feeling good about everything that's going on in my life, I don't know how I'm going to pay this crazy debt. But I want you to know one thing. If I can put my hand on the money, I'm going to pay it, and I'm going to make you rejoice. They're not used to hearing stuff like that. And what they'll probably say after all that is say, well, you just give me a time when you can pay $10 and well, you know, and you stick with it, or $100. And you say, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go out here and do everything I can to raise that amount. And I'm not going to send it to you. I want to hand it to you. And they're going to say, no, we don't do things like that. Well, please let me. Could I talk to your superior? Instead of wanting to talk to their supervisor and complain about the bad service you're getting, want to talk to the supervisor and see if you can have a meeting to come and pay your bills. Nobody does it like that. Nobody does it like Jesus. Praise God. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just giving you some examples of what can happen. Somebody runs over your dog and kills it and mashes it flat in the highway. Oh, my. It's terrible. Most people would react in a way that is like most people react. But if it happened to you, after you get over the shock, and you stand there and you grieve for a moment. Say a little prayer. Try to realize as soon as possible, the dog is gone. Now what do I do with the rest of my life? Walk up to the individual and say, I know you feel bad about this, but I'd like to help you make you feel better. These things happen. It's going to be all right. They're not used to stuff like that. So everything's going to be all right. I'll whisper a prayer for you. I want you to feel better than you feel now. I know you didn't mean to do this. Praise God. Well, Jesus is always doing things that nobody could understand. The multitude followed him. If we just look at these simple, simple illustrations of what Jesus did, praise God. We will not, at next year at this time, be talking about 20 people still coming to this church, or 30. Instead, we'll be talking about miracles are happening all over the place, and we don't know where to put all the people. Could we either open some doors or turn on the air for a minute? It's stuffy in here. I know I'm blowing a lot of hot air out there. And it might get cold pretty fast, but all this computer heat, you know, mixed with all those people. I'm okay, but I just noticed the unrest, and it's not just the chairs. I see fanning, and you know, but I also see you're paying attention, and I also stopped long enough so I wouldn't stay in the same voice tone, so all of you that were about to go to sleep and doze off could wake up and hear what I'm going to say next. Hallelujah. Right. I know all, that's what human beings are. That feels good, doesn't it? Amen. Well, here's Jesus with these very simple illustrations. But he's a real man walking around with real people. And so he says on the level of these he walks with, so how are we going to feed these folks? The whole multitude. How are we going to feed them? Amen. Great multitude followed him. And they did it because they saw the miracles that he did on those that were diseased. He went up with his disciples, sat with them, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw this great company and said, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In other words, where can we buy some food to feed all these folks? That's why we talk, right? Jesus wasn't worried. He probably didn't have a penny on him. He didn't depend on money like many of us depend on money. Jesus was not one, from what I read in the scriptures, that was more exuberant in his worship when the money came than when he was broke. I don't see any difference in his way of operating. Where there's a multitude of people that don't know how they're going to eat, or just a few disciples not knowing where they're going next or what they're going to do. Everything was under control. He was under control. And from what I read in the Scripture, during this earthly ministry of Jesus, although God knows everything, there were some things withheld from Jesus in order for him to be the perfect example for us to follow. For instance, when they were asking him about the end of time, when's everything going to come to an end? He said, it's not for you to know. And he said also to them, it's some things that are known by the Father, and he has not put this in the Son. In other words, he was saying, that hasn't been given to me yet. Now, I know Jesus is God, but if you learn to follow the humanity through the cross into the glorification of Christ, you will come to a better understanding about the man Christ Jesus and the Son of God. Because God never died, but the man Christ Jesus was crucified and died and was put in a tomb. But it was God that raised that man from the dead and then gave him all power in heaven and in earth. And we can worship him as God because that is God's choice. He is God because God made him God. God made him himself. He put his whole spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Jesus Christ. But before that cross, when Jesus was going around doing these miracles, it was absolutely having faith and trust in the Almighty God that when I say these things, when I do these things, God will supply the need. I mean, we can prove the point. Sometimes he talked as a man, sometimes he talked as God. When he spoke to the waves, that was God speaking. And when he said, where are we going to get money to get the food and all that, that was man speaking. And when he raised the dead, that was God speaking. And there's a lot of theology can get involved here, but if you really want to get down to the heart of the matter, sometimes when he spoke as a man, it was to prove man to man that there's something about faith in God that'll get results. There's something about learning to trust when there's no reason to trust. Learning to hope when you don't have any reason to hope. Learning to look forward and know it's going to be all right just simply because you trust the living God and you have faith in God. And somebody's got to prove you and somebody's got to point you to the right way. So here's Jesus, the perfect example, saying to Philip, so where are we going to buy some food for these people? Hallelujah. And at this particular point, Jesus knew what he would do. And he said this to prove Philip. You know why he knew what he would do? Because he knew that God would come through. Praise God. Now, if we can come to that level, we're trying to raise up another level, see. If we can come to that level, where we can walk up to a friend or somebody maybe that's close to us, and ask a question and already know the answer and know what we're going to do about the answer and know how everything's going to be because of faith, even though none of it appears. But if you can walk up to a person and say to that individual, that friend, to, you know, so how are you going to get from here to there? You have no transportation. You have no money. You have no way to make it. How are you going to do this? And you already know the answer and you already know what you will do. Praise God. Say, what I will do? Sure, what you will do. You already know that you love God so much, you believe in God so much, and you trust God so much that what you're trying to do right now is prove to that person and prove that person to that person that if you can just have a little trust, a little faith in God, as a result of me talking to you right now, wonders are going to happen in your life. What Jesus is showing us is there's enough faith in Jesus Christ to get the job done, even if you're in a multitude of unbelievers. He has enough faith to make it happen. Praise God.
Church at Norwich, if you can get enough faith to make it happen, your unbelieving loved ones can come and receive God in their life. They also can be fed. They also can be healed. They also, and I'm going to tell you something, sometimes faith comes by hearing. Hearing does not come sometimes as a result of faith of the individual that's deaf. Sometimes it's the faith of the individual that is saying to the person, if you could only see, if you could only know, the God I serve, the God I trust, the God I believe in, the God I hope in, has the power to open your ears. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that you will be able to hear again? And you're only saying that to prove to the person it can happen, to prove the person, for the person, so they will know for themselves when it happens that it was God that did it. Not you. Do you believe you will hear again? Already knowing what you will do, because you're going to get on your knees, you're going to pray, you're going to trust, you're going to exercise enough faith in God that next time you see that person, you're going to say, now you hear, don't you? Now you're saved, aren't you? Now you have a new car, don't you? You were able to buy that new house, weren't you? All your bills are paid, aren't you? And you're walking better now. See? See what God did? See what God can do? Now, I knew this was going to happen when we had that conversation. But you needed to know that it was God who was making it come to pass. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. See, Philip had a lot to learn. He still had a lot to learn. He needed to learn that God can do anything, include feed a multitude out in the middle of nowhere, that God can do these things. Jesus knew this. There's no doubt about it. Praise God. No doubt about it. So, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. In other words, we don't have what it takes. Don't have an answer. I don't know what to do. You ever been through that thought process? There's not enough money to pay these bills. I didn't expect this to happen in my life. I just don't know what to do. So how are you going to get past this point? Philip? Joe? Bill? Judy? Lynn? George? How are you going to get past this point that you never would have dreamed? You'd have to go through anything like this in all your imagination. You never thought ever. You'd have to face something like this. And somebody saying that to you already knowing what's going to happen. Let me tell you something, Brother George. You're going to have more than you ever had. Sister Anna, let me tell you something. You're going to be more abundantly blessed than you've ever known anything about blessings. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't dwell on the negative. Look forward to what faith in God can do. If we can learn to do this, then we can become the ones who are saying things to others to prove them rather than the ones that have to be proven to. Does God have to do something to prove He exists to you? Does God have to heal you again to make you know He's a healer? Does God have to give you the Holy Ghost again and let you know that He still poured His Spirit out upon all flesh? Does God have to save another person and let you know revival is still happening in the world? We need to be the ones to let people know it's happening. There's a real God. Prayer still works. Hallelujah. And have confidence and know where you stand, know who you are, and know it so much that you can talk to them eyeball to eyeball and say, it's going to be all right. Thank you, Jesus. I
received a little extra money, a little bit more in one day than I'm used to getting a short time ago, and it was nice to receive because there was some needs and there was a lot of prayer. And there was the reason a lot of things are happening in the church is because a dear sister that was a part of this church left some things for me personally. But because of the fact that she did not have a decent funeral because of some hatred and bitterness in a family, and because of issues that we had no part of, and because of the fact she loved you and loved this church, I wanted to do something in her memory so that you can look when you walk in and see things around here, amen, that will let you know there was a reason why about 12 or 13 years ago, a little old, weak, frail lady was baptized in our church in the name of Jesus and received the Holy Ghost. Now, she was 78 years old or so, or 72 or something. I don't know how old she was. But she died at 88, and that was a couple of years ago, almost. So she was about 78, as I remember. Now, you would think a person coming in, 78 years old, living alone, sick, bad heart, failing health, they can't do that much, except maybe just find God and roll over and die. No. Because we know more than that. It doesn't matter how old you are. But there are people that think like that. It doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter how frail you are. If you can know what many of us know, and if you can realize the experience that many of us have experienced, even if you have to trust in our words and our testimonies to just get the confidence you need to be able to rise up a little higher. If you can know these things, it can make a big difference in your life and you can give hope to somebody else. But when that little lady came in, it wasn't but a short time that we found that she'd been being abused by certain individuals. And she called me over to her house and she said, I need help. And she broke down and started crying. She said, I don't know what to do. My family hates me. We've got this problem. We've got that problem. And she said, the person is trying to help me, taking me places, ripping me off every way I turn. I just don't know what to do. It's a hopeless situation. I remember in that living room with that lady about 12 or 13 years ago, what happened? It was almost the same thing that happened here with Jesus and Philip. I said, Sister Isabel, if you could only know what God is able to do with this situation, you would never have to worry about these problems again. And it was after those words, she said, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to ask you to let me come to you for answers. And she said, would you be my power of attorney? Would you do this? Would you do that? And I said, whatever it takes. But there's more to it than that. I didn't even know what a power of attorney did. I didn't even use it until she was dying. But I didn't know what that all meant. I just said, whatever it takes. But I wanted to point her to Jesus. Well, to make a long story short, y'all saw me walk with that little old lady. I spent 10 years of my life raising an 80-year-old child. Amen. I took her to the hospitals. Many times I had to help her to get in bed, had to help her to the toilet. I had to catch her when she was falling and she was paying her property taxes. She would get dizzy and fall against the wall. I took her around corners. I'd have to grab her so she wouldn't fall. Sometimes I missed and she did fall. But I spent 10 years of my life. And when I came to Connecticut, I made up my mind, when my kids get grown, I'm never going to try to have a family again. I spent 10 years. I'm not complaining. 10 years of my life walking with a sister who was feeble, taking her places, letting her hang on to my arm so she wouldn't fall. And a lot of people passed by didn't understand all that. They didn't understand all that. People came to visit and said, why do you take so much time? Well, after she died, I was accused by family and everybody else. Now we know why you did it. You were after her money. No, it wasn't why I did it. I did what I was asked to do, and there was faith and trust in God involved here. But the point I'm making today is this. Praise God. You don't know what's in the package that walks through the door. Praise God. I heard that lady say many times, I'd like to do something for our church. Oh, if I had the money, I would put some nice new chairs in this church. And she was sitting on $500,000 and living like a pauper. Praise God. But she said, I wish I had something. I would do this. I would beautify it. I would fix it up. I would do this and I'd do that. Well, I want to tell you something. There were several times I said, Sister Isabel, you're going to get your opportunity to do something for the church. Let's just serve God. Because I knew when I was talking to her what God could do. I also knew when she died, if I got some of that money, what I would do. I would take it and let her wish come true. Praise God. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank Him again. He's good to us. And listen, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till you see what God is going to do with you. He's going to take your little old frail body, your weak bones, your bad breath, or whatever you got wrong with you. He's going to change you into a new creature. If you only knew what God knows right now, you're going to live an enhanced life forever. No pain, no sorrow, and complete victory over everything in life that you've ever gone through. Hallelujah! If you can get enough faith to start believing that, you can rise up a little higher so that you can impart some of that into somebody else. So you get in the crowd. So you're going to say what you say, not because you don't know the answer, but to prove to the person that you've got what it takes if you can only come to see. Amen. For this need to be supplied. Hallelujah. Because you've got Jesus with you. Thank you, Lord. When shall we buy bread? That these may eat. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread, it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. But what are they? Among so many. Turn the air on. What are we going to do? Now, these were people that were close to Jesus. These were people that were learning from Jesus. Amen. But Jesus was the one who knew the answers. And He was teaching them some lessons. Like we need to be teaching some lessons. Not just doctrine. Not just doctrine. I'm not afraid of doctrine. I'm not ashamed of doctrine. I'm not going to stop preaching doctrine. But doctrine does not win souls. Love wins souls. Doctrine establishes an experience in God. They need to know, through the preaching of the Word, what they must do. But doctrine does not touch hearts. But healing does. Thank you, Jesus. Love makes a difference. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know what to do. We don't have enough to go around. And there's a kid here that has a little bit, but that's nothing compared to what we're up against. But Jesus already knew what He would do. Now bear in mind, at this point, He is the man, Christ Jesus, trusting the Spirit of God that brought Him forth in a way that any one of us could, if we would, trust the same Spirit. The same thing it took for Jesus Christ to open blinded eyes during that day is what it takes for you to do the same thing. That's what's supposed to happen when we do things in Jesus' name. If it doesn't happen, what name are you doing it in? Or did you go into that prayer? Or did you go through that moment? Go through some motions and some moments of trying to prove who you are or what you can do? Or where you go to church and what we have? Jesus did what He did to prove Philip, to prove Andrew, to prove those thousands of people out there that followed Him because of the miracles. Not to prove to them what He could do, but to prove them, to show them they could be part of a miracle. They could be part of supernatural blessings. They could partake of that which would be impossible. You don't have to just follow Jesus. Praise God, but you need to believe in the same miracle-working power that He believed in during that time. And then not only do you follow Him, but you let His Spirit guide you and lead you. And when the need comes, you do what He did. And you say to the mountain, "Be removed!" And it is removed. You say to the blind, "Be able to see!" And they see. Now you may go out here and see a blind man today on the street and say, "Let me try this." You can try it all you want to. And you may go through 100 of them, not one of them is going to see again. But when you get what Jesus had at this moment and you walk up to a blind man, you're going to see blinded eyes come open. Because his faith and trust was unwavering. He knew where he stood with God. He knew who he was in God. He knew there was no sin in his life. He knew that whatever he said, God would do it. Why do you think Daniel survived the lion's den? It made no difference to him. Praise God, if they would put him in there for praying, he knew the God he served. Why do you think the three Hebrew children went through the fire and came out? They said, "Oh King, you might be able to do what you're saying you're going to do. You might put us in the fire, but our God is able to deliver us." Hallelujah! Our God is able. So I'm not going to go out and try to, you know, I'm not going to make a show out of saying, "Bring all the blind over here, let me see what I can do for them. Let me show you what I can do. Bring me a bunch of dead people, let me raise them up." Jesus didn't do that. But when the need was there, he knew who he was, where he stood with God. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lad here, just has a little bit of food for himself. Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. The number, about 5,000. It's easy for us to believe that 5 people ate that little kid's lunch, but 5,000. 5,000. What are they going to eat? They are going to eat five barley loaves and 2 little fish. Praise God. Make the men sit down. You look at all the scriptures that concern this incident that happened. There were 5,000 men. Plus the women and the kids and the dogs and the cats. 5,000 men. Look, you get 5,000 men together, you're going to have a bunch of women and a bunch of kids too. And a crowd that just assembled because of miracles. There might have been more women there than there was men. I don't know how many people are there. I mean, we get excited with 5,000 people. 8. These 5 barley loaves. 2 small fishes. But there might have been 30,000 people. Who knows? It makes no difference. Nothing makes any difference with God. There's not a wall that's too thick for him to go through. Praise God. There's not a sea that he can't walk on. There's not a dead person he can't raise. There's not anything wrong that he can't fix. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, the number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Now what's he doing here? He's proving to the disciples, if you will take what Jesus gives to you and give it to the multitude, you've got what it takes to be a blessing to this entire world. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He knows what he's going to do with those two little fish and those five barley loaves. They don't know. All they know to do is reach up and take what he gives them. They don't know how this is going to happen. I mean, for all they know, he's going to give them something. They're going to fall flat on their faces because they've only got two little fish. It took some faith. It took some trust for them to go ahead and reach out and take it from the Master's hand and turn around to those thousands of people and say, this is what we're going to eat. Here's yours. Here's yours. That's two fish. Now what do we do? There's another one. Here stands Jesus. Watch this. Praise God. Jesus went into the wilderness followed by a multitude. Hallelujah. The people became so hungry, the disciples said, Lord, what are we going to do? There was one little boy in the multitude. Had a couple of little fish and five little loaves. And Jesus said to them all, sit down. Then they broke the loaves and they broke the fish as the disciples gathered around. Hallelujah. Then the head grew a tail. And a tail grew a head. A head grew a tail. See, he broke them. Handed them out. Here's a head. Give that to Rick. He likes fish head soup. Here's a tail. Jesus didn't take these fish and break off a little piece and say, we only have two fish. Now, disciples, give this 1/1,000th of a kilometer. I think I said it wrong, but this 1,000th. This little minute fraction of a kilogram to that, and make sure you don't waste any because we've only got two fish. He didn't break it into millions of pieces. He broke the fish and he broke the loaves and he handed it to the disciples. He only had two fish and he had five loaves. That's it. So he breaks the fish. And he breaks another fish. He's out of fish. But no, there's still a fish. Then the head grew a tail. And a tail grew a head. A head grew a tail. And a tail grew a head. A head grew a tail. And a tail grew a head. As the food began to spread. Then he took the bread and broke it. Only five pieces. Keep passing it out. Four. This is the last one. But no, there's another one. Then the top grew a bottom, and the bottom grew a top. The top grew a bottom, and the bottom grew a top. The top grew a bottom, and the bottom grew a top. 5,000 souls were fed. I made up that song for a bunch of kids about 35 or 40 years ago. And I still feel like a kid trying to sing it today, although I forgot most of it. I mean, we all gathered out. We made a skit out. We had the disciples say, "Lord, what are we going to do?" And we had that part where the little kid with the lunch, he just had a little old paper bag. And he had it under his arm. He was holding on to it. And they were saying, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Everybody's hungry. Hey, there's a kid with some food." And everybody's looking at it. "We want some of that." And he was going. But then after Andrew talked to him, or one of the disciples, there seemed to be a willingness in this child to give up what he had. I'm going to tell you, even if you're a child, you can bless the whole multitude. If you just give up what you have and let Jesus have it. Praise God. All your plans, everything that you think you're going to be someday, you won't lose. And you can get blessed and you can bless everybody else just by giving yourself to Jesus while you're a child. Hallelujah. Lord, what are we going to do? And in that part where the kid was found, he came dancing across the platform of this. Instead of holding it tight, all of a sudden, he held it up. And he would go out. Happy. Happy to give what he had to the master. Because the master knew what to do. Praise God. They had the same disciples that said, "Lord, what are we going to do?" After he commanded the men to sit down, there was a look of confidence came on their faces. And he started passing it out. They were. And the more he passed out, the more they were wanting more, you know. And by the end of it, praise God, the kids were all rejoicing and singing and dancing around on the platform. And everybody had lunch and everybody's having a blast. And thousands of people were eating. And I've heard through the years, of all the music I've ever written, of all the plays and the Christmas programs that I've been involved in my life, everywhere I've ever traveled where anybody was a part of that experience, during that time we were doing that with children, they tell me that's the greatest event that I ever, greatest thing I ever did with any of my talent. And y'all just sitting here looking at me like I'm silly, but I'm still having fun. Touched a lot of lives that night. Praise God. So, Lord, what are we going to do? What can I do with so little? Hey, Brother Mike, you know why your whole family's sick this week? Because we're about to have a breakthrough Holy Ghost revival. You know why I was sick this week? Because we're about to have a Holy Ghost breakthrough revival. And Sister Jennifer has been real sick. Kids are sick. You've been sick all week, but you hadn't let that stop you. I've been sick. I hadn't let that stop me. We're all feeling puny. Sister Sharon's walking around about to fall on the floor. We're all sick. I hurt. We all hurt, but we know something. We know something. Let's stand and praise God. We know that we can just take what He has in His hand. We can be a blessing not only to others, but we can partake of what He can give us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm letting you sit on folding chairs, not because I want to hurt you, not because I'm wanting you to ache. I'm doing this to prove you. We get to the church of all the cameras and all the stuff. Amen. I'm doing this to prove you. I walked with Sister Isabel for 10 years to prove her. Not because I like walking with senior citizens. It was to prove her. God used me to prove her. And now, even after her death, she's being a blessing to you. Let's thank the Lord again. Hallelujah. So what do you do when you only got a dollar to give and that's all you got? Give it. Why does Brother Rollins continually take our offerings and the next person that comes up gives it to them? You know what? I never run out of money. Ever since I've been in Norwich, everybody needs it, comes to me, and I always have it. How many of you know that's true? It's not because this is a rich church. Praise God. And don't you all start coming up to me for money after church because I said this tonight. Because if 1,000 people come in here and want to get healed right now, they may all walk away blind. Praise God. But when God is involved in this, you can have a need, and He can sew up the holes in my pocket and put something in it, and I can hand it to you. Or you can just walk around behind me while I've got the holes in my pocket, and God will give it to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've lost car titles, and I've lost change. I've lost $100 bills. I lost my wallet in New London once with $800 in it. Praise God. And in New London, Connecticut, while I was tuning pianos, it slid out of my pocket evidently on the street or by the street. $800 in my wallet. Amen. And I didn't like that. It bothered me. It was all the money I had in the whole world, and I didn't have anything to give anybody. But still, people still came, and somehow I had it, and I gave it. Praise God. But I went to the Jewett City Post Office to get my mail. There was a package there with a note on it. And it said, "Inside this package is your wallet, Mr. Rutledge. We found it on the street in New London. Everything is in it that was there." Praise God. That doesn't happen in New England. Praise God. Maybe God allowed me to drop my wallet in New London to prove me. I don't know, but I want to tell you one thing. I felt mighty good when I opened it up and the money was still there. Let's praise the Lord again, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're welcome to come around a little closer or just worship God where you are. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Let's thank Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. God, we thank you. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. Thank you, Lord, for what you will do. Hallelujah, nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your miraculous power. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for your ways that are past finding out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, for what you will do in this body. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Greater is He that is in you, hallelujah, than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Nothing impossible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And tonight, I hope you heard the word of the Lord in what He was saying in the word of God. What's there to see, really?
And I remember while Brother Rhodes was preaching tonight, talking about Jesus saying what he said because he knew what God would do. He knew. He said it like this to some disciples once. He said, I know that whatever I ask of the Father, he will give it to me. And I see that demonstrated in that event. No doubt whatsoever. Praise God. I know that whatever I ask of the Father, he will give it me. And that's being transmitted tonight from the Word of God to all of us. Do we know? Amen. As I said just a little while ago. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. So dwell on the Word of God. See what the Lord is saying to your heart and what He wants to manifest through you. Because we know, as Peter said in Acts 4, it's not by our power or holiness that this man stands before you whole. But he knew by whose power, whose holiness, and whose name. Amen. The lame man stood whole. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for what's being said here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for His Word. Amen. Again, let's clap our hands to Him. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Beautiful.